it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Red Tinted Glasses, and we are live on the Red Tinted Glasses YouTube channel, and the comments section is kicking off already, as on this episode, it's going to be jam-packed, Callum. Callum, welcome back to you as well in the co-host seat for the episode. We'll be looking back at that 2-2 draw in Helsinki as the Dons fought back from 2-0 down in some treacherous conditions. To earn a point over in Finland. And also, we'll look back at what was another disappointing Sunday after European football as the Dons went down 2-0 at Easter Road, despite probably one of our better Sunday performances, Callum, after European football. But just because you play well doesn't mean you win games.
Exactly. It's actually annoying that we've put in that performance. It's our best performance after a European game, and we still come out with not even a goal. Never mind a point. Not even a goal. But I've been off on my travels this weekend. I was down at the game, having been in the East League of Fife prior, and now I'm being held captive in Kirkcaldy. But you've been on your travels, Glenn, in Helsinki. How was it? Did you enjoy it? It looked cold. Have you thawed out?
Yeah, just about thawed out. I mean, it was probably colder here over the weekend than it was in Helsinki, but a beautiful city. Absolutely loved the trip. Thank you to everybody that, you know, came up to us during the time in Helsinki. You know, met guys from the Tenerife Dons. So for those maybe getting some winter sun, I'm sure you'll be heading to ZZ's because it's a packed December. So I'm sure they'll be having all the Dons games on in there. So be sure if you're over in Tenerife to check them out. And I spent the last night with David from Shetland, and I forgot how much Shetlanders can drink because thankfully, I wasn't too hungover for the flight home, but you know, definitely if I get a chance to go back in terms of a holiday, I'll be going back. And definitely a city that makes you feel Christmassy, I would say. So off the pitch, really enjoyable. On the pitch, I think there's some stuff to talk about as well, Callum.
There is. Off the pitch, first of all, I'd like to give a quick shout out to the Hairline Reds that was shared on your story. Thoroughly enjoyed that on your Instagram. But what did you make of the eight changes going into the Sibs game from the Helsinki side? It was a heavily rotated side. How do you think some of the new boys fared? One that really sort of made my eyebrows raise as I was gearing up for my shift at Tesco was Jack Milne starting at right wing back. How did guys like him coming into the side? Angus McDonald obviously scored an absolute cracker. We'll talk about the celebrations about that later on. But how did those guys do? Maybe been, for lack of a better phrase, frozen out.
Yeah, very apt. Well done. You know, to be honest, I saw a lot of praise for Jack Milne online after the game, which kind of took me by surprise, maybe because the first half in particular stood out that he was our weak link. And look, I'm not going to have a go at Jack individually because I don't particularly feel that right wing back is his natural position. That is just where he got thrown in, and HJK quickly identified him as an easy target in my mind. And I thought their winger kind of really tore him to shreds, but he grew into the game. And it was quite interesting reading Dante Polvara's take through the week on the club website about his friendship with Jack Milne, how quite highly he rates Jack and the future he's got in the game. Again, I saw a lot of criticism for Pat Pabbey-Gay. It's such a difficult game to judge these players in, given the conditions that they had to face not only on the pitch, but what was coming down from the sky. And the wind, for those obviously not there, the wind was absolutely howling. And I'm sure it can't have been easy. Although hats off to Angus McDonald. I think he was the only player in our lineup that didn't don gloves or long sleeves. But yeah, as I said, difficult to judge certain players in that game. Again, for me in that first half, I forgot Ryan Duncan was even playing. I kind of spoke about it with Phil about how the conditions could be kind of a leveler going into this game, given the fact that Helsinki had been without a game for a period of time. And I think in that first half, it showed they certainly dealt with the conditions better, moved the ball better. But I can't help but feel both goals that we conceded in that game were avoidable and probably quite soft as well.
A running theme, it seems, this season. I saw a lot of Jack Mill getting a lot of praise for how he was going forward down the right-hand side. People had mentioned he sort of seemed nervy, kind of. I think that's fair enough. It was his first start for Aberdeen in conditions like that. Not easy and to go in with so many other players, I suppose, who haven't had many minutes. You mentioned Papi Abgay. Any signs of a player in there that you saw?
No.
No.
No. And I mean, again, I'm going to put it down to the conditions and the lack of minutes, but I really didn't see much to convince me that there was a player there. But I mean, he's getting fleeting appearances and 45 minutes in those conditions. I just don't think suited him and probably the style that we were playing. Again, a lot of people saying that they thought he looked okay. Andy Wright saying that he thought he was better than Duke. I saw that opinion a few times as well. But look, that's a good thing about football. Everybody's got different opinions. Everyone's entitled to those opinions and everybody views games differently. We're just two spec idiots that put them out there for the public to either ridicule or enjoy as well. The one player that I was probably disappointed in, can't be bothered saying, why is Barron suddenly out of the team? He's been one of our best players this season. I thought he was particularly poor on Thursday night. A lot of players, I think, struggled with the conditions underfoot, but I thought Barron, normally quite reliable with his range of passing, was poor in the middle of the park. And probably himself could have done better for the second goal. I think it's Polvara and McGrath. And was it McGrath? No, I don't think he was on the pitch. It was definitely Polvara could have done a better attempt at stopping the guy getting into the box. But Barron seemed to just kind of continue to back off. But I guess that's maybe why Conor Barron wasn't involved after a performance on Thursday night.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, you did mention Angus McDonald not donning gloves or even long sleeves or underarm. Did don an excellent moustache, however, which I must mention. Absolutely fantastic stuff. And also absolutely fantastic stuff, contrary to Rob McLean's commentary, was his goal. How was that in real time and the carnage that I assume ensued afterwards?
To be honest, his tash is great, although I wonder if he shaved it off for Movember, and I'm sure some people will say it's certainly better than yours. But yeah, the commentary, I saw you quote that from Rob McLean. Jesus, I wonder what it takes to get him excited. Unbelievable. But you know what was really weird at the goal? It probably wasn't as much carnage as you think, mainly because I'm sure a lot of us were absolutely freezing, but also a lot of us were in pure disbelief at what actually happened, thinking, what are you doing taking that on? And it wasn't until I was sat in the airport on Friday lunchtime watching the game back that I actually really appreciated just how good a hit and how much movement there was in the ball. And the keeper was really kind of struggling to do it, but how nonchalant Angus was after chucking that in the top corner, just like, yep, grab the ball, let's go again. Like, I do that every day in training. A player I think a lot of us feel a bit maybe sorry for, if that's the right word, that he's maybe not had as much minutes as we would have maybe expected this season. But when you look at the performances of Stefan Gartman and Richard Jensen in particular, it's maybe slightly understandable. I know we're maybe going to come on to the other centre back a bit later. And question mark whether or not we do see Angus going into the game on Wednesday at Kilmarnock. But look, he's certainly showing Barry Robson what he's capable of and ready to come into the team if called upon.
How was his defensive work, You know, great strike. Looked very, very cool. How was his defensive work throughout the game?
I don't have any issues with his defensive work on Thursday night. As I said, I know both goals were soft, but I don't think he was culpable for either. I thought Ruby was massively culpable for the first goal. Once again, just running out of that back line, pulling himself miles out of position, that was exploited again. Look at what happened on Sunday against Hibs. And then the second goal was down to poor play. Nobody wanting to put in a tackle. We did ride our luck at times in the second half. There was a glorious chance. I think that was at 2-2, where it looks like the boy slipped and blazes it over the bar when it was easier to hit the target. But again, like I said, that wasn't down to an individual mistake in my mind from anybody in particular. So yeah, I was more than happy with what he did defensively.
Unhappy with a point? Fair result?
I think you've got to be happy with a point when you're 2-0 down in those conditions and come back to earn that point. Probably disappointed on reflection when you see the chance Miowski had at the death. Could he have slipped in McGrath? Probably. I've got to say, I didn't even notice McGrath there at the time. I just thought it was a really tame finish, which kind of obviously set Miowski up for the weekend. But you know, given the kind of farcical end to the game with obviously the stoppage that we had halfway through the second half, of the stop-start nature of the game, I think it is a good point. And also, as you mentioned, with a heavily rotated squad, you know, playing 45 minutes with relatively fringe players, for me, it is a good point at the end of the day. And obviously, another €166,000 in the bank.
Yeah, which, based off Sunday's performance, will need to be spent, I think.
Yeah, it will be. And I was disappointed that we didn't see a rendition of Jingle Bells at Easter Road on Sunday, but I don't think there was much to cheer for. If anyone does want to look back at that video of the Dons fans enjoying themselves whilst the snowplows clear the pitch, you can find the short on our YouTube channel. I was playing about with that at the weekend, so you can check that out. But yeah. Calm, 8 changes for the game at Easter Road on Sunday. Good to see that squad rotation works.
yeah. I mean, I suppose you could say to a degree it kind of does, not in terms of result, in terms of the fact it was our best performance after a European game. How we've not come away from that game, I don't know, other than extremely poor defending. But it was not an easy watch for my poor hungover eyes, shall we say.
It wasn't, but the worst thing for me about yesterday, if we look at it all in, because we're always going to pick out some kind of individual stuff, and, you know, people are saying, you know, the title of this podcast was "What Now for Barry Robson?" This is classic me and you looking for a bit of clickbait on YouTube. And that is kind of going to be the kind of overriding reaction is Barry Robson under pressure. But for the first time, I felt after playing European football on a Thursday, we actually put in a decent performance on the Sunday. It was an Aberdeen team I could recognise. We just couldn't finish our supper.
Oh, it was concerning. I think it sort of highlighted, I mean, we obviously could have had a hat-trick, missed a penalty, and without even the penalty, if we're honest. But it sort of highlights our reliance on Bojan Miowski. If he's not going to score the goals, who is? Nobody, it would seem.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing. As Paul Riki says, bad day all round. How many times are we going to keep saying it? Miowski had an off day for once, but what a day to have it. And as I said to you before we came live, my feeling this morning was just kind of showing the reliance we have on Bojan Miowski, because most of our best chances yesterday seemed to fall to Bojan. Obviously, he had the penalty that was well saved. But, you know, as Paul says, what a day for Miowski to have an off day. What a day for David Marshall to channel his inner Gigi Buffon and roll back the years to Serbia away in that playoff, because, fuck me, he's been absolutely horrendous all season, but suddenly he's pulling out worldies left, right and centre.
I know, not only that, the mishit that Robson called it, sort of a secondary assist, if you want to call it that, as well, for Hibs opener. An excellent ball, I think, if I'm honest, you know, helped by some horrendous defending, but Boy, oh boy, he deserved the Man of the Match award. I did not expect him to put in a performance like that. There was times where I think he got a bit lucky. The two times it hit off the post, it sort of bounced off him and then didn't go in the back of the net. I mean, how many times do you see that kind of thing happen? Quite often. Very, very, very frustrating, though. And it's going to be even more annoying when he has a howler in Hibs' next game as well.
Yeah, and it's quite ironic, Barry, speaking about the first goal coming from a miss hit, almost forgetting the fact that our goal against Rangers came from a Kel Roos miss hit, because I do not think he intentionally meant to kind of pitch it into Esther Sokler's head to flick onto Bojan. But look, I think Robson's a master in deflection and excuse making. But miss hit or not, the defending, once again, is extremely questionable. And once again, it's Rubizic being miles out of position defensively. And Skokesker saying he's turning into a bit of a footy manager player running off in random directions. I'm sure you've suffered that many a time on your YouTube channel.
I have. Videos will be back soon. Subscribe once I'm finished uni work for Christmas. It was abysmal. I mean, I don't even know where to start. Ruby getting sucked in as he seems to continuously running underneath the ball. Even prior to that, we didn't deal with the movement of sort of Vente and Boyle to start with, and then it left Clarkson chasing after Vente whilst Gartman was sort of nowhere to be seen. It was sort of a contentious decision. Well, no, we thought it was going to be offside. I thought it looked offside, clearly onside. And it was just all round an absolute calamity. And it sort of summed up the game. At times it was so unbelievably easy for Hibs to just play through us, play through the midfield a lot of the time like they weren't there. And it's just, it has to stop at some point. I love Ruby for how funny he is at times. However, I am now starting to beg the question, as I'm sure people have been for weeks, what needs to happen for Angus McDonald to get a start in the league?
Yeah, and that's it, obviously starting in Europe, but can he start domestically? And I'm sure people will be watching that team line come out on Wednesday, seeing how many changes are going to be made. And obviously we'll come on to that Killie game a little bit later on in the episode. But as you said, it's once again, he kind of just gets dragged ball watching. And there was a comment earlier on in the episode, and I'm going to see if I can find it as well, because it quite kind of sums up Ruby quite well. Kind of how saying that he plays well for most of the game, but then he always has it. Here it is. Here he plays well 98% of the game and then drops a howler and we're all fooled. And that from John Keelich there. And it's true. Obviously, you look back at what game was it? Pauk. He had an excellent game against Pauk at home and then last minute lunges in, concedes a penalty in that game as well. And for me, again, Helsinki, that opening goal, in my opinion, that's down to him. Look, he's a young player, yes. He's developing, yes. His stats are good, yes. But as good as his stats are, he's also cost us goals as well. But I also think some of his stats are a little bit helped by the fact he makes a lot of simple passes and he's the player that the ball kind of drops back to restart the play. But look, his job's to keep the ball out of the net. And this has also just kind of annoyed me recently. When Barry Robson first came into the job, obviously we were conceding really simple goals, despite Jim Goodwin's kind of calls about the defence being easy to fix. Barry Robson seemed to make it an easy job to fix it. But now we've kind of gone back to our ways of last season and we're conceding soft goals, we're conceding easy goals. We're not that hard to beat team that we used to be. I know this is a drum that you beat from time to time. Should we be more flexible with that five at the back? Because for large parts of that first half in particular, yes, we were causing Hibs problem on the counter-attack, but they were causing just as much problems to our five at the back. And with five defenders, we still concede two goals, both on Thursday and then again on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, since you mentioned the five at the back there as well, I'll go into it now. Why stick with it at 2-0 down? What's the point of that? Go for it. Make a change. I don't understand at all. But I don't know. Last season we went to that. We made it very difficult for teams. It was very structured, very organised. we stuck with it this season, which I wasn't certain was going to happen, and it's so disorganized. Just look at that first goal. The defensive line is a shambles, and you've got Clarkson as the closest sort of man trying to track the eventual goal scorer, Dylan Venti, and Jensen chasing after Martin Boyle, likewise Rubicic, Gartman not really anywhere to be seen. If you're going to play five at the back, it needs to be effective, because otherwise it's just limiting you going forward for no reason. But we're still conceding these stupid goals, sort of most games. And I don't know where we go from there. But then we've recruited specifically for the system in the summer, and it's a big concern. I feel.
Yeah, it is a big concern. And obviously, December is going to be a huge month. We've got two home games coming up this week, ahead of that cup final, and that is probably two big games for not only Barry Robson, but also for building a bit of confidence and a bit of momentum going into that cup final as well. But, you know, how much as well did yesterday just kind of frustrate you? Because, as I mentioned, we did create enough, and on another day we would have won that game.
I couldn't believe we didn't even score one goal.
Yeah.
Especially when you said he had the penalty as well. But even without that, Bojan Miłowski certainly had enough chances for a hat trick. I think he hit the post twice. As I said, they got quite lucky, it felt, with the rebounds off the post hitting David Marshall and then not going to the back of the net or just falling to the perfect position for Hibs player to get back and clear it. It was incredible. We had so many chances, and Hibs won 2-0. However, I didn't feel they were that good. They didn't have to be that good at all. Because we were so poor defensively and we couldn't finish our dinner. And it is a real concern that if Bojan Miłowski's not scoring, the goals really do dry up. I know that's quite silly after the Helsinki game, two different goal scorers, but in times that matter, games that matter, I suppose, if it's not Bojan, it's no one, and they're not stepping up to the plate. And Duke's been so off the boil. Esther Sokla's only starting to get a couple starts. Papi Habib-Gaye, I don't even know what to say about him. Reportedly spent $500,000 on him. We've barely seen him. When we have seen him, he's not looked great. And it begs the question, why would you spend that much money on someone who'd spent so much time out injured and not really played after it as well? And sort of in the last season, I don't know. I feel like I'm getting very concerned, and it's a massive week going into these two games at Tawdry that I'm not really looking forward to, if I'm honest.
It looks like, by all accounts, the game on Wednesday is going to be just as cold as it was in Helsinki, judging by the forecast. But, you know, as much as you say you're getting concerned, I'm not sure how much concern I kind of have, obviously, because the results aren't coming, but the performance was there yesterday. You know, we showed enough in that game yesterday to show that we can win these sort of games, but ultimately losing that sort of game yesterday could be the kind of problem that cost us third. The other thing I was trying to remember as well, obviously we're only just at the start of December, we've got a huge amount of games, we've still got two games in hand, we're 10 points behind Hearts in third with a couple of games in hand. Were Hearts not around about the same amount of points behind us at this stage last season, and then they clawed it all back after Christmas and then shat the bed? So is that what we're going to do? Claw it all back and then shit the bed?
I hope so. Well, no, not shit the bed, but the claw it back. Without shit the bed. I think it, I don't know, Hearts certainly did struggle in Europe last season. We absolutely have. However, I do struggle to use that as an excuse for Thursday, given we made 8 changes coming into Sunday. I think it's not an excuse. It's another thing we have had to deal with, and clearly it has its effect both on us this season, Hearts last season, but as Barry likes to say, we're Aberdeen Football Club. This is where we want to be, and yet we've not dealt with it very well. We had to recruit a lot of players last season, this summer, sorry, because of so many players being on loan last season. But ultimately, we have spent a fair chunk of money, and you know, we've taken in Reece Williams on loan. I'm sure we're paying a decent part of his wages. He's not playing, hasn't played actually competitively for us this season. Same with Ordadia, Papi Abigay struggling. It's questionable recruitment and it's a concern, but you do hope that once we're out of Europe, we can pull things together a little bit. And we won't have to rotate quite as much after this month, at least anyway.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that will kind of be affected come January is our strike force, of course, with Duke going away to African Cup of Nations. But this December does have a lot of fixtures. Most of them feel like they're at home as well. In theory, that should suit us better. And Robson has done better in these kind of so-called bigger games. Obviously, despite maybe coming up short in the kind of home game against Pauk, Frankfurt away, in terms of the actual results, but the performance has been there to be encouraging. There was a comment earlier, and I'm sure I saved it as well, from regular that tunes into the live, about the final coming up. And he's saying that the final is currently saving Barry Robson's job, because only three wins in the league this season is obviously of huge concern. And for other teams, could be a kind of run of results that would see the manager lose their job. I think our mitigating kind of circumstance this season has, of course, been our involvement in Europe, which has, and the players and managers have openly admitted that, affected performances on the league front. Thankfully, though, we almost don't need to worry about that on the league front anymore, because, of course, our next game after European involvement is that cup final. So, can we now start looking forward to full focus on the league? And as you said, despite ringing the changes in Helsinki, it still didn't bring us that kind of change in fortune.
Yeah, I do hope that without that sort of distraction, without the extra travel and the fatigue, both mentally and physically, that kind of thing causes, then we can pull things together. I just hope that things aren't too far out of sight in terms of by the time we get to that stage. And it sort of feels like it's beginning to get a little bit out of sight. I mean, I know there's a lot of football to be played in the season, but 10 points behind Hearts, it could be worse after this week.
The thing is, though, Hearts' next run of games, they've got Rangers at home this week, then they come to Tynecastle, then they go to Parkhead. You know, if we win our next two games and they were to lose their next two games, then it's suddenly down to 4 points and we've still got two games in hand against them. You know, it's the joy of football. We're talking doom and gloom here, but come the next, well, I was going to say the next time we do a podcast, but potentially the second next podcast, obviously depending on our work schedule, we could be totally speaking of a totally different scenario where we're back in the hunt for third place all of a sudden. It's just the joys of the fickle nature of football.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we are. I hope we are. However, right now I feel extremely demoralised.
Yeah, it's tough. And again, especially when we're continuing to concede poor goals. And I think the second goal, once again, just sums up. We kind of didn't heed the warnings of some of the balls into the box. I think Rocky Bashiri should have scored in the first half. Nicky Devlin did it tremendously to kind of put him off. And once again, Rubisic kind of coming out of position and being caught under the ball. And Will Fish makes no mistake in it, 2-0. It's game over.
Extremely poor from Ruby. I hate saying it, but it was. Just didn't deal with it at all. Sort of lost his man, and Will Fish couldn't miss. He scored against us last season. We should have known he's a threat. He scored in the 6-0 game. It's incredible to me the amount of headers we don't win in either box. In fact, there's one guy behind me who's particularly angry at the game who was so shocked that we were getting everyone back and still not winning the headers. And I mean, we were quite fortunate, I suppose, that Rocky Bashiri headed it off Nicky Devlin's back in the first half as well. Could have been punished there. But defending set pieces a concern also. And I'm just, I did agree with the man behind me. I did.
Yeah, it's difficult because obviously, you know, as some people put in here, where's the comment that I just saw that I was going to bring up? From Bob Duff saying that ultimately the fans will dictate Barry's future. And basically on social media, you'll see a large part of the keyboard managers are wanting the change to be made in the dugout. But Skokes are saying that Barry's going nowhere this year. I do wonder how much the cup final is keeping him in a job. And if we do have a poor December and worst case scenario in that cup final, how much longer he does last is my personal opinion on the matter. But how much you then feel, Callum, that this Wednesday is a must-win game?
It is a must-win game. I think not only in terms of keeping ourselves in it, sort of in the league, going towards gaining momentum, going towards that cup final too. I don't must win because I don't know. I do agree that the fans do, hold the keys, I guess, simply because of how Jim Goodwin went. It took a 5-0, 1-0, and then a 6-0 before he got punted, and the 1-0 being to Darvel. Sorry to mention it again, everybody, especially with Scottish Cup finals, Scottish Cup starting next month. But it's I think this week is massive. I don't know how many points I would put on it as sort of required. I'd be pretty happy with 4. I think 6 would certainly go a long way in helping Barry Robson's cause, and of course the momentum that I'd hoped after that draw with Rangers we would start to build going towards the cup final as well could certainly help. Glenn's frozen once again, and he's disappeared. Glenn's Wi-Fi really isn't helping here. This is what happens when you live out in the sticks, I suppose. He's back now.
Yeah, this is going absolutely terribly. It's difficult because I saw a few folks say, they would want double figures in terms of points for December. And I think, that's certainly what we have to be achieving. Skokes are saying get us in the top 6 and cup winners by January. I love the level of optimism that Skokes are having on the podcast tonight. Seems to be the only one bringing a level of positivity to this show, and that's us included as well, Callum. But that's certainly the way that the games feel just now, and as John Keelich says as well, outside of Celtic and Rangers, they're all must-win games for us, but not really for the management, I suspect. And it's just so frustrating just now that there kind of seems to be a bit of a mentality block, potentially, the way that these games has kind of gone from Thursday to Sunday, that it's okay, we've exerted ourselves on the Thursday, the Sunday is just going to, whatever happens, happens.
It sort of does almost have that feeling, but I would maybe not include the Hibs game in that, because, as we say, sort of the performance was good, it's just, well, no, the chances created was good. I don't know if the performance as a whole was good. I think that's a stretch. I'm really looking forward to us being out of Europe. After we waited so long to be involved with group stage football, I'm now just being like, let's get this over with so we can hopefully get back to winning games of football.
Yeah, absolutely. How many changes then do you expect to make, or do you expect Robson, I should say, to make for the game on Wednesday night, if any?
I would hope Angus McDonald gets his chance. I've been beating the Ruby drum, I'll be fair. However, it is becoming, well, I don't know, it just seems to be every game there is something. And I just think a chance on the sideline, and also maybe a rest, because he has played a lot of football. Now he's been going away with Montenegro as well. And sort of adapting to Aberdeen and things like that without trying to take too many excuses for him. I would hope Angus McDonald would come in. I would like to see Conor Barron back in. Clarkson, to be fair to him, did okay on Sunday. He looked a little bit more like himself in terms of sort of spreading the play extremely well, the way we knew he could from last season. However, I would maybe expect Barron to come in for a slight bit of rotation. Other than that, perhaps Duke for Sockler. Duke came on and looked lively without really making anything too much happen. And I'm not sure if McGarry will play once again so soon after injury, which would mean Jonathan Hayes, who came on and actually looked sort of okay, which is surprising to me, but credit to him, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose on Jimmy McGarry, again, I thought he looked pretty good on his first start back in the team after his hamstring injury. I think it's a case of managing that up until the cup final, of course, with Jack McKenzie suspended for that. So we could see rotation there. For me also personally, I would drop Graham Shinney for this game. I thought he was miles off of it on Sunday. And I'd, you know, again, with the fact that we've got midweek, Saturday, midweek coming up before the cup final, maybe a chance just to give Graham Shinney a little bit of a rest. And you can put Connor Barron in there. I thought, I agree on Leighton Clarkson. Some of his balls into the box yesterday were superb. Just once again, kind of showing his kind of skill and his ability in terms of delivery. So I'd be happy to continue to see him in place. I also agree on Angus McDonald coming in. Again, I saw a few people kind of, it's really weird, a lot of people calling for Duke to start, but the same amount of people that are saying he's been absolutely terrible this year. So poor boy can't win. They want him to start, and then when he does start, folks slate him. I just wonder, could there be an opportunity to potentially rest Bojan? Again, you know, you spoke about Ruby and the amount of minutes he's had and going away with Montenegro. Miolski's probably up there with probably one of the players that's had the most minutes for us this season, as well as on the international front as well. But the problem is, this is such a big game. You know, I spoke about being must win. We need to be putting out our best possible team for coming up against a team like Kilmarnock, who, let's be honest, are going to probably look to sit in
to save their shame in being compared to St Johnstone. They're a good footballing side. They've caused us a lot of problems recently, I would say, after not doing it for years. They looked very good in the only full game I've watched them in, other than against Aberdeen, against Hearts in the League Cup. Kyle Fasile, an absolute handful, and I'm sort of worried about what he could potentially do to Ruby. They deliver quality balls into the box from their wing backs or wide midfielders, depending on how you want to look at it. And defensively, they are pretty solid. So I imagine they will look and frustrate us, and probably knowing, fully aware that the crowd are getting a little bit unsettled. And they've got the capability to come up here and get a result. There are no mugs whatsoever. So it is a concern, and it's sort of weird to think after so many years of just beating them every single time that we're now in this position. But that's the reality of it. We need to go and earn it. And I'm sure McInnes will be delighted to get one over us at Pittodrie.
Yeah, you know, you obviously mentioned there about them being defensively resolute. Had it not been for Will Dennis chucking the ball into the net against Hearts, it would have been back-to-back clean sheets. But speaking of Will Dennis, it's a surprise that he's still coming up here this weekend for his assault on, I think it was Oda in the game against Hearts, saved by the fact it was offside, although that had shades of Joe Hart versus Esther Sokler in terms of assaulting a player. And I don't remember the outcry for a red card on Joe Hart as much as Hearts fans have been whinging on the back of that. But you mentioned Kyle Vassell. Obviously, we saw the threat he posed to us at Rugby Park with scoring in the game down there. Kilmarnock have actually gone two games without scoring. So maybe struggling a bit up top just now. Now that I know they've said that, we all know it's going to happen come Wednesday.
You know.
but look, it's going to be one of those typical stuffy games that no one looks forward to, more so when it's a freezing cold night at Pittodrie, but a game that we really need to go out and probably, like, I think it was not St Mirren at this kind of stage of the season last season when we probably put four goals past them inside maybe the first half, first hour, rings a bell, and we won that game 4-1 in the end, and that was some really good football on show. It'd be good to kind of see a performance like that, get a few goals in at the team, get the confidence back amongst the players, get confidence back amongst the fans, and 3 points to start pushing us back up the league as well.
That would be more than welcome, and I think it would cheer us all up. And what's going to be a freezing night at Pittodrie, I don't know if the attendance is going to be any good given what we've been served up recently and the weather and things like that. But it's, I don't know. I'm just growing increasingly unsettled and sort of nervous about every single game. Like, you know, we used to have that sort of confidence, I suppose, going into games like Kilmarnock at home. That's not the case anymore. It's not been the case in recent years at all, really. And Kaiser mentioned it. And mentioned it on the preview of the game at Rugby Park as well. Kennedy and Watkins, of course, in Kilmarnock's ranks as well. And after you've said, oh, they've had problems scoring the last couple of games, look what you've set us up for.
Yeah. I know, apologies in advance if that happens. And of course, apologies for the slight issues I've had on this episode tonight with my Wi-Fi connection. You've had a better connection being held captive in Caitlin's loft than I have in a house on my own. But look, we've looked back on a couple of games. We've looked ahead to what is going to be a huge week for the club. And look, I think most of us are hoping for, if not expecting, 6 points. You know, I see Scokes are using the word, there's maybe a sense of entitlement around Aberdeen fans in the way we approach. But look, nobody takes defeat like Aberdeen fans take defeat, and nobody accepts wins better than us as well. So let's hope that when we do reconvene next, we are speaking about some wins as well, because we do need some confidence ahead of that cup final as well. But thanks for joining me tonight, Callum. And thanks, of course, goes to all of you on the YouTube channel for joining in with your thoughts and exchanging your feelings with those else that have joined the comments. Of course, please do remember to like the video. It helps us a lot and helps the video reach more and more fans. If you have just been watching, remember it is free, of course, to subscribe to the podcast here on YouTube. It is also free to subscribe or follow us wherever you've been listening to this podcast as well. And it's great to see us feature in so many of your top fives on your Spotify raps as well, or wrapped, whatever the fuck it's called.
An old man.
I know, right? So thank you very much for all the continued support of the show. We've got a busy month coming up. Let's hope for a change in fortunes, because boy oh boy is it needed, isn't it, Callum?
It is. As a great man once said, Aberdeen is an emotional city. Let's hope we're happy next time.
Wow, I can't believe this podcast ends on a Jim Goodwin quote. Thanks for tuning in.
Sports Social Podcast Network.